Hello there, wonderful listeners. Hi, how are you doing? Anyways, it's another time to listen to something awesome, you know, to debunk some myth and to set something straight, you know, to learn the truth about really important things. Remember, I began the vaginal care series last week, and I'm just going to continue this week. And yes, I'm welcoming you again to the moment of truth with the Debunking Doctor, and I am your host, the Debunking Doctor. I'm just going to be back in 1 minute while I share the next topic on the vaginal care series. So today, as you can guess already from the topic and the description of the topic, you already know what I'm going to talk about. Today is going to be on pubic hair removal. Pubic hair grooming, or to make things clear, shaving. Yeah, maybe that's a term we're familiar with. Shaving. I mean, what is the truth about it? What are the lies? What do we need to understand about shaving the hair? I mean, removing the hair around our pubis, around the private part for the females now, okay? And that's because of the series that I'm running. We're going to learn, I mean, a lot of things about that. What is the significance of removing the pubic hair? And then how can we handle things better hereafter, right? Okay, so that's what we'll be talking about. So just relax, calm down, and then I'll just dissect this when I come back. Welcome back. Okay, so I'm just going to start with this statement. Removing your pubic hair doesn't actually make you more hygienic, and letting it remain there does not make you less hygienic. And that's, well, quite different from the public perspective, in that people actually attach, you know, cleanliness to pubic hair removal and, you know, all the blah blah blah. I've had time and then the opportunity to interact with people, grown-ups, of course, females, and then, you know, they've been able to tell me the reasons that they have. Yes, this is one of it, the fact that it makes them feel cleaner. Yeah, the other thing, of course, is the fact that they feel more comfortable with their partners. Some of the people actually take down their pubic hair because of, you know, partner's preference, the fact that their husband or their wives, okay, because both parties can actually take down their pubic hair. Men do too, okay? So this is not supposed to be a female thing. It's just because of the series I'm running, okay? That's why I'm relating it to the females. And of course, the tips that I'm going to share at the end of, I mean, this episode will help both gender, okay? So it is not supposed to be, okay, it's a female thing and all of that. No, males do do that. And well, for the ones that I interacted with, they did it because, you know, their wives preferred it. And then for them, it also makes them feel more comfortable. You know, they feel cleaner there too, right? Okay, and then the other thing, of course, which may not be very common in Nigeria, is the bikini line, right? People want to go to the beaches, wear your bikini, and then the pubic hair is not just rearing its head somewhere, right? Those are the reasons people take out their pubic hair. Well, the ones that I spoke with, and from some of the documented evidences that I had to go through before this episode, I came across just one medical advantage that has been attached to the removal of pubic hair, and that's when pubic lice were serious problem. Lice is spelled L-I-C, and yes, they are tiny insects that can cause significant discomfort within a person's private part, right? They can actually make the hair actually looks white, you know, from laying their eggs there and all of the other things. But then pubic lice are not, it is no more a problem now. It's not as common as it used to be then. And you know what was discovered then is that the pubic hair served as a really good place for the lice to stay. And then it was realized that once anyone that suffers from pubic lice take down their pubic hair, of course, it's like taking away their natural habitat, in quote. The person's symptoms got better, right? And that's because the lice had no place to stay. Okay, and that has been the only medically related advantage of removing the pubic hair, right? And for as many people that I had to interact with before today's episode, none of them told me they have pubic lice as the reason for removing their pubic hair. And maybe I should ask my listeners. Well, I'm sure that was not the reason you removed your pubic hair when you did, or that's not the reason you are still removing it. Okay, it could of course be because it made you feel better about yourself, more confident about yourself, you know, when you're in public, or you're having to relate with people publicly. You know, those are reasons that people will tell you. Social reasons, really, psychological reasons, sexual reasons. There are more reasons why people remove their pubic hair other than medical reasons. So the myth that I'm blowing today really is the fact that removing your pubic hair does not make you more hygienic. Leaving it there does not make you less hygienic. And as a matter of fact, there have been lots of disadvantages to removing the pubic hair. From having bumps, rashes, you know, mini tears, unpleasant experiences, ingrowing hairs can be very, very painful. And then some people that actually come into the hospital with really huge boils, you know, in their private part that happened after, you know, some days after removing their pubic hair. In fact, some people had to stop removing their pubic hair because of the really unpleasant experiences that they've been having once they do. And yes, those are important reasons for not wanting to remove the hair anymore, right? And then, of course, just to make things clearer, the pubic hair has a function. It is there for a reason. It actually serves to, you know, reduce the friction that is associated with the private part. And of course, that is with respect to sexual interactions, right? So the thing is that once the hair is there, it reduces the skin-to-skin interaction and contact. And you can imagine if one skin is rubbing on another directly, it will increase the tendency to having injuries. You know, abrasive injuries can come from direct skin-to-skin interaction. And that is what the pubic hair serves to do. That's one of it. The other thing is that, of course, it reduces the direct inoculation of microorganisms into the skin. Okay, imagine that the hair is removed, everywhere is bare, there are minor injuries everywhere, and then there was some form of sexual interaction and contact at some point during that time. Of course, because the place is bare, there's no barrier to the skin, it becomes a lot easier for organisms to enter the skin and then cause problems. And in fact, there's actually a recent study that is relating increased incidence of sexually transmitted infection, attaching and associating it with the removal of pubic hair. And leaving the pubic hair has its own advantages, and they are very important advantages, and then removing it really, yes, has advantages, I would say, but all of that are just as we perceive it as humans, right? And they are not necessarily true. But of course, those are things that touch on your psychology, and we cannot completely throw it away. And it's the reason I'm going to be sharing tips on how to make the pubic hair removal experience a lot better and reduce the complication that stems from it, right? It is not to say that I am encouraging the removal of pubic hair. I'm saying that it is actually your thing. Your pubic hair is your thing. And of course, you determine what you do with it. When it comes to removing the pubic hair, it is not a thing that can be copied. You cannot do copy with this kind of thing. You work with what is best for you, what you feel good about, okay? What makes you feel all right. So if you feel okay removing it, I'm supposed to help you do it better. But if you choose to let it be, that is beautiful. I mean, that is awesome. There's nothing wrong with it. I'm also here to let you know it's okay to leave it and to tell you that all that you need to do is to keep it clean and dry. And of course, I'll be sharing more tips about that later in today's episode. Just stick loose. Don't go anywhere. So now let's talk about the various methods of pubic hair removal. And of course, there are different ways of doing that. Yes, the really common one is using a shaving stick, and it is still common and it is still around. In fact, it is 300 naira in Nigeria. Maybe it's more expensive right now, but yes, it's still around. It can still be picked up very easily. Apart from that, of course, people also use shaving creams. Yeah, there are shaving creams all around. There are really common ones that are quite readily available. Apart from that, well, waxing is not very common in this part of the world. Well, for the many people that I had to talk to or met with on the grounds of pubic hair removal, I can't really remember having any of them do it by waxing. It's either with a shaving stick or, you know, hair removal product or something for the ones that I'd had to talk to. Okay, so I don't think waxing is, you know, as common here. With Caucasians, with the whites, waxing is, you know, quite common. It's a common method of removing pubic hair, but that is not the reality here. And then I should also quickly mention that complications following hair removal is more common in whites compared to blacks. Okay, having said all of that, what are the take-home points that I want to give us today? You know, you actually make the choice of what you want to do with your pubic hair. It is yours. Okay, and then, well, because a good number of people are still removing it, you know, shaving, that's why I thought to share these few points so that you can do it better and then we can reduce the complications that might come from pubic hair removal. First of it actually is that you need to pay attention. Okay, once you make up your mind that you want to remove your pubic hair, then you pay attention when you're removing it. It's not the time for you to, you know, be looking around or you want to watch something on the TV or you're listening to something on the radio and then you're not. It's a time to pay attention and that helps you to see, you know, to look at what you're doing. If it's possible, actually, you do it in front of a mirror where you can, you know, have a very good look at what you're shaving, what you're taking out. That helps you to do a better job than you doing it without good attention. Okay, that's the first. The second thing is that you need to understand that whatever thing that you're going to use, instrument or tools that you're going to use, needs to be very clean. Okay, it is not okay for you to use the same shaving stick that you have used for, say, your armpit, to remove the hair from your armpit or your face or your chest, wherever else. It is not okay that you use the same shaving stick to remove the hair in your pubis. The reason for that is that you could as well introduce organisms from those places to the pubis, and that would increase your possibility of having an infection, a complication from shaving with that stick. Preferably, you're supposed to, you know, use a new stick per time. And if not, if you want to reuse, actually, by the time you want to use, you should disinfect. Disinfect is more like cleaning it with, you know, something alcohol, like the hand sanitizer we carry around. Pardon me. The hand sanitizer we carry around, you know, with really good level of alcohol concentration, 60% at least. You can use it, first of all, to clean the tool you want to use. That's maybe the razor or the... anything that you want to use, actually, you clean it first if you had used it before you use it on yourself, because that helps to, you know, keep things clean. And of course, in like manner, you're supposed to also clean your body before you shave. So it is not a good practice to shave first before you bathe. Yes, I know that is what we used to do. The idea is that, you know, when you shave before you bathe, you wash off, you know, the air you are just cut out, water can wash it off your body and all of that. But that is not the good way to go about it. It is better for you actually to bathe first, okay? Wash that area first before you even cut, take out the air. What that helps you to do is it reduces the concentration of, you know, bacteria or any other unpleasant organism around there before you cut. Injuries you cannot see when you're shaving, and once there are organisms right there, and of course there are usually organisms around there, once there's a cut, it gives an enabling environment for them to grow and thrive, and then, you know, complications can set in. You know, you start having pain, you don't feel good. Okay, so that's it. And then the other thing you should also do is that once you're done shaving, once you're done bathing, and then you get out, you should moisturize the pubis. You should moisturize the area. Use your lotion, okay, anything at all to moisturize that area, because that will soothe the area better. And then you also need to pay attention to the style of shaving. You know, I keep emphasizing on this for the different patients that I've seen before. You need to pay attention to the style. It is better, or it gives a better outcome, when you shave along the line of hair growth. Okay, so it is not going to make sense for you to be shaving your pubis upwards. Okay, you're not supposed to take your shaving stick down and then you now start bringing it up.
Because when you do that, you are going against the flow. You're going against your pubic hair. Most pubic hair grow downwards, okay, and sometimes from the sides. So you look first so that you see the direction of hair growth, and then you follow that direction with your shaving stick. Most of the time you go downwards, you know, from your tummy downwards. When you do that, when you go along the path of hair growth, you reduce the possibility of irritation significantly compared to going against the flow, because that way you'll be pulling excessively on the hair, and that will predispose that, I mean the hair follicles, that is where the hair grow from, predispose them to irritation, and then inflammation, and then itching can start. Okay, I hope you got that. And then this last one is what I'm going to add. As much as you can, once you're done shaving, you know, few days after, you should avoid wearing tight underwears, tight things, okay, because that increases your chance of being irritated down there, okay, because, you know, for the first few days, the hair is going to need time to rearrange itself, and then the minor injuries too will need time to heal, okay, so they need that space. You don't want to choke them. So a few days after shaving, especially if you're that person with the sensitive skin, right, it will be very nice that, you know, you wear free things that will let your underneath, I mean that place, breathe better at least for the first 3 days, okay, before you go back to the tight fitting things and all of that. I hope you got that. Okay, so those are the tips that I thought I should share with you for as many people as are still interested in removing their pubic hair. Just like I said, waxing is not common on this, you know, side of the planet, but in case you feel that you want to use wax, then it is advised that you visit professionals, okay, that can help you so that you can reduce complications from the use of wax, okay? And then for anyone at all, if you choose to actually leave your pubic hair, that is beautiful, that is fine. All that you need to do, of course, is to wash every day, okay? Wash regularly, wash thoroughly, and then keep it dry, okay? Keep it dry. And then the other thing that I would like to add today about the vaginal care series is about cleaning up. Cleaning up after you defecate, or that is poo-poo, or after you urinate, okay? Of course, we have preferences for cleaning up. Some people prefer, you know, water to tissue. But then what I need to emphasize is that it is important that you keep your under clean and dry. It is very important that you clean it. I mean, you keep it clean and dry. I want to believe that some of my listeners at some point had experienced, you know, going to the toilet either to wee-wee or to poo-poo, and then you clean up with water, but then you did not perhaps pat your under dry. And then you wear your pants or your skirt, and then you get back to sit down and you realize that your skirt is wet, right? That might not be a very pleasant, you know, feeling. It might not give you a very pleasant feeling. It might mess up with your self-esteem, okay? And apart from that, I mean, that's like to the outside world and your feeling. The other thing, of course, is that when it there is wet, then it will promote the growth of bacteria or the thriving of bacteria, and then unpleasant smell might come from there. And so it becomes important that even if you had gone to defecate or to urinate and then you had cleaned up with water, okay, it is also important that after cleaning up with water, you take a tissue, you use tissue to actually dry, to pat dry, okay, that way you keep everywhere dry, and then you reduce the possibility of bacteria thriving, and then the possibility of unpleasant smell from under there. I hope you've been able to gain one or two things. And you know, while I was preparing for this session, I was talking to someone, and then she was trying to share an experience with me. Well, she is someone that does not like to remove everything. She does not like to, you know, remove all the air, as some people would, of course, prefer. And then what she does is actually the comb and scissor style. You know, you get a very tiny comb, more like the tail comb that we use, that blue tail comb that we usually can get that. Or if you can get something tinier, that is even better. And then what you do is that you, first of all, you can comb the pubic hair, okay, if you feel that you're comfortable with that. And then you put in the comb. Of course, you let the comb rest directly on your skin. You let it rest, and then whatever length of hair goes above the comb, you cut with the scissors. I hope you understand that. Okay, just picture it. The comb is through the hair on the pubis, or through the hair in your private part, and then you let it rest exactly on your skin, and then you cut any hair length that goes beyond the comb, and you go like that. You do it in different areas of your private part at different times. Okay, so you cut just on top of the comb. That way you don't bring the scissors directly on your skin, and then of course it also helps to maintain like an even length of hair once you're done. And that way you're going to have something shorter of a close to equal length, and then something that really looks good, and it is not bare. You're not bare skinned thereafter. Okay, so if you're someone that would prefer that, all good, but all in all, please take note of the things that I've said. Keep the place clean and dry, and well, enjoy life. It is your thing. Choose what you love best, and stay hygienic with it. This is all that I have come to say today, and I hope that you'll be able to gain one or two things and you will change your style, right? Another style. Okay, so until I come back to share one or two things on the vaginal care series next week, I hope you stay safe and you be deliberate about it.